Three in red. Now Logan, Michael, move in. Noah.
Tight.
It's Saturday morning and every corner of Fari's GA pitch is crammed with underage teams practising their footballing and hurling skills. The club has seen a huge growth in members and this summer it opened a second training facility and a community walking track near Fari's village. Protecting nature was a priority for the club. They retained all the native hedgerows around the new pitch and planted native trees and shrubs to support birds, insects and pollinators. Dahi, Fionn, JJ, Pearl, Caitlin and Hannah play football for Fari's. They believe we must do much more to protect the environment.
Since the industrial era happened, pollution started and we have to stop it, yeah? So planting trees helps the environment and the trees help us take CO2 out of the air. We should all have solar panels, or there's people down the fields from me and they have small wind turbines, but they give a lot of power to them. And trees help us a lot, and bees they help flowers and all of us. If the bees can help the environment, why can't we? And I know a lot of us are doing that, but there's some people who aren't, and
that's, we all need to do our bit,
yeah,
don't we?
We do. Yeah, we do.
Do you think it's important to have native trees and native shrubs?
Yeah, because it helps us breed and it makes home for the birds and it helps the worms.
Is it important that we plant all these native trees and shrubs?
Well, yes, we need air to breathe and oxygen and home for the birds and all that. Yeah. So, yeah.
And do you think it's important that we all, and even in our own garden, we leave a little corner for nature?
Yes, we need nature.
Yeah. We need the bees as well, don't we?
We need the bees.
Yeah, because they move pollen from flower to flower and they make honey and stuff. It's beautiful anyway when you're doing training. You can look over and see all the plants and trees and it's very nice to see. And loads of people, there's a walkway around and they can look at us and see how it's very pretty and there's loads of trees and birds and everything around there.
Fari's was the first GA club in Kerry to sign up to the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan. Eamon Foley is chair of Bord na n-Óg.
I think it was very important for the club. We developed a biodiversity management plan for the club in 2023 and that took in our pitch here in Farn 4, Park Eamon, but also the new development in Ballinvarig, and just kind of set out what we wanted to do, you know, outside of the main playing areas to, you know, be cognizant of the fact that we're looking to kind of keep a big grass area for playing, but also to be able to bring a bit of nature into the surrounding areas, you know, around the ditches and stuff like that, and to try and enhance it as much as we can for nature's benefit. There's a field committee in place, and, you know, working with the field committee, we kind of set out the design of the pitch sitting in the area, and then we just looked at different areas and to see what would be possible, like leaving places, bits of ditches uncovered so that solitary bees and stuff and mining bees would get an area for it, and just looking then at different areas that might need planting. I suppose we were looking to keep it all native, all pollinator friendly Irish plants. We wanted to do our bit, but also like that where the kids, when they're coming to our playing areas, they see it, you know, so that they can take like a little bit of that information and do a bit at home, because climate change is going to be an issue for everyone.
James Casey is a coach at the club. He also has a diploma in horticulture and landscaping. He says native planting was a priority.
How it started is myself and another club officer, Peter Costello, we met on site and we walked the boundary and we took notes of what was existing on the site already. So we didn't want to introduce any planting that wasn't there already. We just wanted to blend in with the existing site. So what we planted on the boundaries was blackthorn, whitethorn, hazel, mountain ash, and then we planted some alder and then holly as well, some willow, and out the front then, as you enter the site, we planted oak trees as well, which we thought would be a nice thing to introduce into the site, to people, like in 40 or 50 years' time, you're going to have these huge trees, which you can say were planted when the pitch opened.
Yeah. It was important to you that these were native species?
Crucial, because look, I've seen it even with my work. You'll see an awful lot of plants introduced into housing estates and into houses that are not native to Ireland. There's some fantastic species within Kerry and within Ireland that give some fantastic flowering all year round, and again are very good for our birds and bees, so we can introduce more nature within the pitch. And I think that's very good for kids because they see all the activities with birds landing, especially where the apple trees are. You know, when there's apples there, you'll see the birds coming in trying to pick the apples, and then you've loads of bees and stuff. So it's fantastic, and the kids are learning as well as they're going around. I think the walkover is a crucial thing as well for the pitch, because parents are walking around it and they're seeing all these things with their kids and seeing all the new trees and stuff that are planted there. So they're learning as well. And I think it's very good for the future of the village.
Owen Dalton has rewilded 73 acres of farmland on the Beara Peninsula. He's also written an award-winning book, An Irish Atlantic Rainforest, on the blooming of nature on his farm.
It's a 73-acre farm that I bought in 2009. It's near Iries on the Beara Peninsula, just over the border, the international border from Kerry in West Cork. And what attracted me to the place was the fact that the farm was largely left unfarmed for about 100 years. And what happened in that time was that any little fragments of wild natural habitat were able to recolonize back out. And most of that was in the form of wild native forest, which I didn't realize at the time when I bought it, but I subsequently came to understand through doing a lot of reading of woodland ecology and so on, that it was actually rainforest. So the most beautiful habitat, but it was ecologically in bits when I got it, because you had feral goats in the area and sika deer, both of which are non-native invasive species. So what the goats and the deer were doing, the sika, was that they were preventing the forest from regenerating by eating every little seedling that germinated. They were stripping out all of the kind of wildflowers and other rich ground flora that should have been there. And they were stripping the bark off a lot of the older trees, killing the trees. So the whole place was littered with dead trees. And what they were also doing was preparing the way for invasion by non-native invasive plant species like rhododendron. And so there were about 8 or 9 of those, but the worst of all of them was rhododendron ponticum. So I applied for a grant under a scheme called the Native Woodland Scheme. While I was waiting for the scheme to kind of like be approved, I set to work to fence out the goats and sika. I set to work getting rid of the rhododendron and all the rest of it. And then after about 18 months, the fence went up and the whole place just started to blossom with life. So you started to get wildflowers erupting everywhere and little tree seedlings springing up, which they would be anyway, but now they were no longer getting eaten immediately. So, you know, the whole place started to transform, and all of this was attracting in more and more kind of invertebrates and in turn bird life, and you ended up even with several rare species of native mammals, lesser horseshoe bats, pine martens, otters started to come up the streams. So it was the most wonderful transformation, really.
Owen wants to see farmers get financial support to rewild their land.
Nature is dying in Ireland. And that might sound like hyperbole, but it's really not. Nature is in a desperate state in Ireland, and it's getting worse. So that has to change. We need to find ways of changing that. That's the first thing. The second thing is that it needs to happen in a way that's fair to farmers. It can't be something that's an unfair imposition that doesn't work for them. It has to be something that works for farmers, for nature, for the climate, for society at large. And I don't see any difficulty in doing that. All we have to do is widen the eligibility criteria for farm payments to encompass rewilding your land. If those criteria were changed to allow farmers to continue to be paid the same funds for doing what I'm doing, a lot of them wouldn't do it, because they'd say, no, sheep are part of my identity, or cattle or whatever else. They'd say that's part of my family tradition or whatever, but some would. And so that's how you'd bring change. And the really important thing there is that you're not forcing anything on anybody. As a society, we have to change things in a way that makes it possible for farmers to do the right thing, because ultimately, this is not a problem the farmers created. This is a societal problem.
2.5 years ago, the government introduced a new agri-environmental scheme called ACRES to help address biodiversity decline while delivering an income support for up to 50,000 farm families in Ireland. Tricia Dean is the ACRES Cooperation Manager for Kerry and West Cork.
There's been a big change in policy there from the Department of Agriculture, in that before, farmers would have been encouraged to remove scrub. Now you can have up to 50% of scrub on a parcel before there's any penalty to you. And again, if there's areas of scrub, some scrub is beneficial, there is no doubt about it, and it's really important. And then we see some scrub maybe coming into species-rich grassland, and we want to protect the species-rich grassland. So there are supports there then to manage the scrub that might be encroaching, or maybe where bracken could be encroaching in a species-rich grassland. We don't want that. We want to protect those pockets where we have them. And farmers, again, are being encouraged planting orchards, planting trees. That's an action there under ACRES. But we're looking again at having the right action in the right place. That is the mantra for ACRES. And some actions might be suitable in some places and not in others. So, for example, the corner of the field might be the place where you'd say, I'll stick a couple of trees in there. But that might not be the best place because it might be too wet and there might be some very positive wetland indicator plants there. So, again, we have to look at all that when we're screening. So every farm is different, and I suppose it'll be our job now to try and work as closely as we can with the advisors and the farmers to try and explain that rationale to them and try to support it, because it is about balance. There is a change there by the department. They do acknowledge now that scrub is beneficial, because even as a cover crop and things like that, or a cover plant for some of the breeding birds and things like that, you know, a couple of rushes inside in the field could be protecting very important roost sites, you know, or raptor areas. Bracken, again, can be very beneficial in these areas. So not all scrub is bad. But we'd say to farmers, if they have a concern or a query, pick up the phone and give us a ring.
Invasive species are a huge threat to our biodiversity. Tricia says there's now funding there under ACRES for farmers to remove invasives from their land.
We are looking at things like rhododendron, knotweed, hogweed, giant rhubarb, we call it, or gunnera, it's known as. So there are supporting actions under ACRES, because invasive species are the second largest threat to biodiversity in the world. So it is a top priority, and this is the first time that there's funding there for those actions. So again, we'd say farmers with those invasives, they might not have the capacity to do the work themselves. We might have to do training and upskilling of people locally to set up little metals. We are going to be against the clock on it, because it takes so long to target these invasives and do the treatment in a very targeted way. And it is important that the treatment is done correctly, because if treatment is not done correctly, it can actually exacerbate the problem and it can make the problem worse.
Can you give me an example of that?
So if you cut or burn rhododendron, for example, it'll come back multi-stemmed, and that makes treatment of it very, very difficult. So I suppose people are very slow to accept that herbicides might be the right thing to be used. But unfortunately, for some of these invasives, they are the only way to actually treat these invasives. But I would say to people that are concerned, they'd say, why is an agri-environmental scheme promoting herbicides? Well, we're not promoting herbicides, but they are the only treatment. But they are so targeted. There's no foliar spraying with most of these. We're protecting water courses. There's measures there. And again, training is going to be a critical element of this to make sure that people know the targeted treatment method that's being carried out. It's time consuming, but the payments do reflect how much time goes into doing this work as well. So the funding is there for the first time ever. It's on our local action plan. It's one of our major objectives that we try and deal with these invasives. So getting that expression of interest into us as soon as possible, because we won't be able to hold funding. We'll have to give it out on first come, first served basis.
Supporting nature is not just the responsibility of farmers. Owen Dalton says everyone can do their bit.
I think everybody put together who has a bit of a garden, whether in a city or in the countryside or wherever it is, or, you know, some people might have a quarter of an acre here or whatever else, you know, collectively it adds up to a lot of land, and there are things they can do, like, you know, if they stop mowing their lawns so ruthlessly, if they maybe leave the grass grow long and allow the wildflowers to come in, don't fertilize their lawns so the wildflowers can come in and allow them to develop into a kind of a pollinator friendly state. If they're planting trees, to make sure they're native trees, or even better, to look for wild native trees somewhere where they can get, because if you go to a garden centre and buy an oak, for example, it's going to be a very, very different thing to the wild trees you'll find in Killarney National Park. Those ones are descended from thousands and thousands of years of oaks that have lived in that spot. If you can try to get, you know, the wild equivalent somewhere, even just get acorns and grow them from seed, go into the park and get a few acorns or whatever, you know, and then maybe have a bit of a pond, because, you know, any kind of water is great for wildlife and attracts all sorts of things in, frogs and frog spawn and whatever else, birds, you know. I think there's a lot everybody can do, no matter what their personal situation is.